So we're.
Oh, now we're going to go back to conservation, right? Yeah, and then one more.
Oh, okay.
Actually, could we conservation, then recess. We'll come back on the other thing.
The lady is coming up under conservation.
Number two.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll turn it over to you, sir.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
I'd like to call the Conservation Committee to order. The first order of business is the approval of the previous committee meeting minutes from the November 3rd, 2010 meeting, which have already been distributed. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Moved by Martin, a second.
Second.
By Hickson. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none, the motion carries. Committee item number one, update on TPWD progress in implementing the Texas Parks and Wildlife Land and Water Resources Conservation and Recreation Plan. Carter.
Let me share a couple of bits of good news. I mentioned December was a busy month for this agency, and a lot of great conservation work. Wildlife Division at the forefront of that with their work out in West Texas State Parks with the stocking of bighorn sheep into the Bobacillos Mountains there at Big Bend Ranch. Just an extraordinary effort. We have a number of the folks in the audience here that were very instrumental in that effort. Clay Brewer, of course, who you know well, and Froilan Hernandez, who I'm not sure everybody knows. Froilan, why don't you raise your hand so we can embarrass you appropriately. Froilan is a biologist out in West Texas and has been hired as our new bighorn sheep coordinator, and we're real proud to have him in that role. But you know, we had 12 rams and 34 ewes that were captured there at Elephant Mountain and then moved over to Big Bend Ranch State Park. It was a wonderful, wonderful collaborative effort between wildlife and state parks. Communications did a great job of getting a lot of media out there and just a great conservation success for Texas. As you might imagine, the Texas Bighorn Society was very much part and parcel of this and played a major role in helping to make that happen. They do great work behind the scenes, as do our partners. So, wonderful project, got great media coverage, real proud of the Wildlife and State Parks team on that. You know, we've given you all a lot of reports on what's happening on oysters in Galveston Bay following Hurricane Ike and the loss of about 8,000 acres of reefs there. A lot of sediment deposited on those reefs, smothering those reefs. We've also talked to you about how expensive it is to go back in and add culch to try to build oyster reefs from scratch. You know, we completed a project recently, 22 acres, that cost us a little over $800,000, or roughly $36,800 per acre. So it's expensive to go back and start an oyster reef from scratch. But our coastal fisheries team, working with commercial oyster vessel operators, this fall completed a project in which they dragged bagless dredges over those reefs that were covered to open them up, get rid of that sediment, and make those vibrant again. They were able to affect 1,104 acres to re-expose them, about an $800,000 cost, $740 per acre compared to the cost associated with building them from scratch. So very, very efficient, smart project, great partnership between coastal fisheries and our commercial oystermen. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Carter. Committee item number two, the 2011 Water Communications Initiative. Ms. Lydia Saldana.
Good afternoon. It's almost afternoon. I'm Lydia Saldana, Communications Director, Communications Division Director here, and I'm here to brief you on the ongoing multi-year communications initiative having to do with water. The newest work in this body of work is our upcoming State of the Gulf America Sea documentary that will be airing across the state next month on PBS stations. The documentary is just one element of this multimedia, multi-year campaign, and I want to we'll show you a little bit of that in a little bit, and you'll be seeing some of that later today as well. This is the 2011 marks the 10th anniversary of this effort. We got started on this effort in 2002. Just this morning I was going through some of those magazines and I realized that none of you all were on the commission in 2002 when we started. So I brought you an issue here. I don't know if you have it or not. These are fast becoming collector's items, but I wanted you to kind of see where we started. That issue was called The State of Water. Again, we produced that in 2002, and it became the umbrella for the entire campaign, which has proceeded over the last 10 years. Certainly, I hope you're familiar with the July issues of our magazine that began in 2002. Since then, we have covered a lot of ground and water since then. We've provided in-depth coverage of our bays, rivers, springs, wetlands, lakes, and, of course, the Gulf. And we're working now on our 10th anniversary issue. Thanks to a fundraising effort that we completed in December, we're going to be able to produce an expanded 96-page issue of the magazine. And once we knew that, of course, our magazine staff, and they're represented in the back row there, we've got Louis Bond and Randy and Russell back there, they began immediately planning for a very ambitious issue that'll come up in July. Three writers will be returning from the first issue that you'll see there. Larry McKinney, Joe Nick Petoskey, and Carol Floyd Chapman. We'll also have an article by Andy Sansom. Our own Larry Hodge will be writing for us as well. Wendy Holtkamp, and then Carter Smith will be writing an extended forward. Did we mention that, Carter? We'll be writing an extended forward for the July issue. And, of course, throughout it, you will see just spectacular photography that will help us tell this story. Now, since 2002, we've also produced a companion series of five video documentaries that have also covered the topic. The first one aired in 2003, and I just noticed the slide is incorrect. The actual first video documentary aired in 2003. Now, since we began producing these, they've been seen by almost 800,000 folks, that's and counting, because of course all of these are now available up on YouTube and are experiencing new life through that venue as well. These segments have also been repurposed through our PBS series, on our website, of course on YouTube, and we've also distributed over 13,000 of the DVDs. Most of them have been distributed to schools. Now, the State of the Gulf documentary, you'll be seeing a preview of that this afternoon. Again, as I mentioned, it is the fifth and last in the series. It takes a lot to produce a documentary. We've been working on this for over a year. Unfortunately, Lee Smith is not here with us today. He and Richard Roberts are down at the Bullock right now getting set up for the event this evening. They've done over 37 interviews, 62 different location shoots, have researched almost 300 different articles, and a really cool hallmark of this documentary is some really high-quality, high-definition aerials of the entire Texas coast, which you're going to see a little bit of in just a few minutes. Editing a documentary, as Carter and now Ross and Gene are certainly aware, it's like making sausage. It's a long-involved process, and it's gone through a lot of iterations, but I think we're all going to be pleased when we see the product that airs next month. Of course, a big part of this, we spent a lot of time producing this documentary. We want to make sure that folks see it. So we will be spending a lot of time and effort over the next month or so really giving it a big push in terms of promotion. We've got a website up. We just put out one news release. We're putting out more localized media relations efforts. And we're going to be depending on a lot of our partners to help us get the word out about this. We've had really great success with partners such as the Sierra Club, the Wildlife Federation, and other partners, as well as our sponsors, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, to really help us get the word out so folks are out there and view it. We'll be doing a video news report. We've got coverage in the February issue of the magazine, and the governor has written a letter that'll be in the March issue that will help us promote this effort. So a big push to get the word out. We've also, and this we're really looking forward to as well, here in Austin, I hope some of y'all are familiar with the Alamo Draft House. On February 9th, we're going to be doing a special screening at the Alamo Draft House, which is going to be a lot of fun, probably a little more relaxed than the event tonight. But Carter's going to be there. We're expecting a full house, and it's going to be a really, really good effort there. Of course, you'll see promotions on the PBS stations, print ads, radio advertising, you'll begin to hear that. So we're really, really beginning that push. We've got some online advertising, and of course, we're utilizing all of our social media vehicles to get the word out as well. I want to point out that we did not have an advertising or promotional budget for this. That was also funded through sponsor dollars. This effort is really contingent on sponsorship dollars. This is the print ad. I just got my issue of Texas Monthly. That ad's in Texas Monthly. You'll see it in the Texas Parks and Wildlife magazine as well. The website is really phenomenal. Just went up this in the last week or so. Tim Peterson and Sarah Conejo on our staff did just a great job on that. along with the documentary that will be available on that, Ron Cabley on our video staff has produced a series of really slick trailers to promote each of those individual segments. So if you've got a chance to check out the website, please do. I think my favorite promotional tactic was the little card that you saw here. We had hundreds of these printed for $37. And we'll be giving these out like tonight and at other opportunities just to get the word out about the air dates. The other thing I want to mention is that we've leveraged all of these materials over the past decade educationally. Nancy Heron and her team have been instrumental in helping us put together educational CDs, education kits, Keep Texas Wild CDs, education loaner trunks. We now do a Groundwater to Gulf Summer Institute. All of this is utilizing these materials. So none of this has been a one-shot deal in terms of a July issue of the magazine or a documentary that airs once. We have multi-purposed this material and will continue to do that through the course of the months and years ahead. Did I mention our sponsors? We really could not have done it without our sponsors. And for this particular year's effort, Heart Research Institute, Larry McKinney has been a staunch advocate of this effort when he was here at the department and now with Heart. GBRA, the Guadalupe Blanco River Authority, as well as the San Antonio Bay Foundation have contributed heavily. They've also been involved in many of the other efforts over the years. So if you see any of these folks tonight, please tell them thank you. Of course, the Parks and Wildlife Foundation and Dick Davis has been involved from the beginning and has been a key sponsor as well. And then other sponsors include the Nature Conservancy, Apache, Texas Monthly, Ducks Unlimited, the San Antonio River Authority, Wells Fargo, and TCEQ. And then other partners have included the Texas Wildlife Association and their foundation, the Coastal Conservation Association, and LCRA. And I wanted to take a quick moment to thank the foundation over the years, Carter, for your efforts on behalf of this. I know you were busy fundraising last month on other things. Darcy Bontempo, our marketing director in the marketing group, and Jim Stone, our advertising director with the magazine, were instrumental in this. Tonight, as you know, we've got a special event to kind of culminate this effort. Carter and I met with Evan Smith on Friday, and I think this is going to shape up to be a very interesting discussion here starting at 4:30. We'll be videotaping that, and we'll be making that symposium available on our website afterwards, so that's promising. It's shaping up to be a very, very good evening. We've also have quite a few RSVPs. They're still coming in today. We're expecting quite a few legislators here, so there might be an opportunity to talk to a few of them about this and other issues. I want to end by showing, rolling some tape of this aerial footage. And this footage was shot with I'm going to call it a gizmo. It's a gizmo that allowed the video camera on the footage to just be absolutely rock steady. Are we able to roll on this, Mark?
Yeah, and I will turn this monitor so
it's commissioned. Yeah. But if you've seen aerial footage on, like, news stations, you usually get a real, jittery picture. This footage is pretty incredible, and we were actually able to go up and down the entire coast with some seed. The chopper's moving, the horizon is steady. And the footage that you will see throughout the show is also footage that we will likely be literally using for years and years and years. Even better than that, we've developed a relationship with the company that does this, and Commissioner Bivens, you'll be pleased to hear that we got a phone call a couple of weeks ago that said, hey, we're flying in the Panhandle. Anything you'd like us to shoot up there? And we now have some spectacular imagery of Palo Duro. So this relationship that we developed for the documentary, I think, is going to stand us in good stead over the years as we have these opportunities. Really, to be able to tell this story with aerial footage is something that is really going to help, and you'll see some of that urban sprawl demonstrated there that can really only be demonstrated by aerial footage, and you'll see that throughout the documentary and in the weeks ahead in the show as well. Really in 2011, first of all, we're not done yet. I mean, we're going to continue communicating about water resource issues. This is the most important conservation issue facing our state, so we're going to continue reporting and covering it. But with the July issue of the 2011 issue that we're working on right now, we're really going to put a bow and call it a wrap for the State of Water Initiative. So I want to take this opportunity. I know I'm not going to have a chance to brief you all again. and say kudos to some of my staff. The magazine staff, as I've mentioned back there, Tom Harvey just showed up as well. This really has been an ongoing effort, not just Randy and Louie and Russell, who you see back there now, but really staff that goes back 10 years. And, you know, Robert Macias, Elaine Roberts, Robbins, the first issue of the magazine, Susan Ebert was the publisher, and that's what got it all started. So I really want to acknowledge the work of the staff over the years. I mentioned Lee Smith, and who, if y'all don't know him, you'll meet him tonight. He is absolutely passionate about this topic, passionate conservationist. And Lee has done 4 of the 5 documentaries. We've won several Emmys for them. I think this one is going to do well as well. Richard Roberts in the Media Productions Group has also been involved from the beginning. I mentioned our marketing group, our creative services. This really has been a team effort. I'd also like to acknowledge Cindy Leffler. Cindy Leffler in our Water Resources Group has been our consultant, I guess you'd say, from the very beginning. And I mentioned Larry McKinney. Phil DeRocher has been involved, and now Gary Saul and Robin, and then of course Gene McCarty, who's been there from the very beginning, and then Ross has been involved this year, and of course you, Carter, Bob Cook, Andy, and finally I'd like to thank y'all, because the commission has been supportive of this for the last 10 years under your leadership, Chairman Holt, under Chairman Fitzsimmons' leadership, on Chairman Armstrong's leadership, and we believe it's critical to tell the story. And through this effort, we've been able to do that, and we'll continue to do that. And with that, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
What was the name of the company that's doing the photography?
The name of the company is Aerial Filmworks, and it's just, again, a great relationship. Look at the footage of this dolphin. It's really phenomenal. So.
Is it high def?
Not the whole thing, no. Very good.
Beautiful. Any other questions or comments for Lydia?
This is very exciting. I do want to observe, though, this would be a great chance for us to use a blast email.
We definitely are going to do that, sir. Yeah.
But I'm saying if we had more email addresses for hunters,
we've
talked about this.
Yes, and we actually have...
Where we could do a blast email to every constituent to let them send them this link.
Right.
It is so attractive.
We have begun to step up those efforts, and I certainly hope that you've seen some of that email. Actually, that's another topic we'd like to come back and brief you on perhaps later this year on how we've stepped those efforts up.
And you said Gene's been helping this for several years. Is it 100 years?
Oh, dear, I'm not answering that one. Gene's been great.
You sent in your email?
No one's asked. I'm happy to give it to you. Well, thank you.
I have, Lydia, thank you for your passion and effort and keeping the banner going, and you've given kudos to everyone else, but kudos to you for championing this beautiful, as always, wonderful work.
We'll see you tonight. It'll be a good pechanga.
Thank you very much. That was really spectacular. Okay, the following items will be heard in executive session. Committee item number 3, acceptance of land donation, Kendall and Bandera County, 3,700 acres, the 3K Ranch. Committee item number 4, new park search briefing for Palo Pinto County. Committee item number 5, request for easement, Briscoe County, transmission line crossing Caprock Canyon's trailway. Committee item number 6, the CREZ administrative litigation related to the competitive renewable energy zone transmission line route selection. And committee item number 7, personnel matters, selection of the new internal auditor. Therefore, I would like to announce that pursuant to the requirements of Chapter 551 Government Code, referred to as the Open Meetings Act, an executive session will be held at this time for the purposes of deliberation of real estate matters under Section 551.072 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, and seeking legal advice from the General Counsel under Section 551.071 of the Open Meetings Act, and deliberation regarding personnel under Section 551.074 of the Open Meetings Act. And we will now recess for executive session. At this time, we will reconvene the regular session of the Conservation Committee regarding the following items that were heard in executive session. Committee item number 4, new park search briefing in Palo Pinto County. No further action is required at this time. For committee item number 6, the CREZ administrative litigation. No further action is required at this time as well. And for committee item number 7, personnel matters, selection of the new internal auditor, I will place this item on the Thursday commission meeting agenda for public comment and action. Committee item number 3, acceptance of land donation, Kendall and Bandera counties, 3,700 acres known as the 3K Ranch. Corky Coleman.
Good afternoon, commissioners. For the record, my name is Corky Coleman with the Land Conservation Program. This is the 3K Ranch in Kendall and Bandera County. This is the second reading of this item, so it will be an action item tomorrow. We reviewed it last commission meeting. It is located just outside of Bernie, Texas. It is a land donation from Albert and Bessie Kronkowski, around 3,750 acres. Like I said, right outside of Bernie, has about 2.5 miles of frontage along Highway 46. The infrastructure on the property consists of one house that the Kronkowskis used as a weekend place that hadn't been used in quite a few years. It sat idle. We've toured the house. It's in decent condition. It's got a garage with it and barn complex. There is a ranch manager's residence. There's a caretaker in it now, hired by the trustee to take care of the property, the caretaker. It is also in relatively good condition as far as we can tell. We haven't been in the inside of that one. The whole property is deer-proof fenced. The fence is in surprisingly good condition. There's a couple of water gaps out, but other than that, the fencing around it is good. There's quite a bit of water on it, a couple of stock tanks, some seasonal creeks. It's got about a mile and a half of pipe creek, both sides. The views are fantastic, and just a lot to see from the ridges. As I said, there's 2.5 miles of Highway 46 front. The housing complex is in relatively good condition. High fence, good road network. Biologists have identified over 200 plants. They expect that count to jump to 400, maybe 5 in the spring count. And at least half the site is potential golden cheek warbler habitat. That half might be a low guess. This is the motion that will be presented to you tomorrow. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Any questions or discussion?
I do have one question, Mark. That old vehicle that's in the shed, is that a Blazer or a Bronco? And what are we going to do with it?
It is a Dodge Ram. So as a Ram, I guess we can use it for a hunting blind. No, sir. No. Unfortunately, if you now that you say that and it's unique to see, I don't know if did y'all see this upper right hand corner. There's some Model T's, Model A's, a vintage Cadillac, a vintage Buick, and that shed that belonged to Bessie Kronkowski's foundation, and I'm not sure what they're going to do with them. I called to ask if we could trade them all for a bulldozer and grader, and was told no. Bank of America, Kenny Wilson.
Any other questions for Corky? If there are none, I'll place this item on the Thursday Commission meeting agenda for public comment and action. Committee item number 5, request for easement, Briscoe County Transmission Line crossing at Caprock Canyon Trailway. Ted Hollingsworth.
Chairman, Commissioners, good afternoon. My name is Ted Hollingsworth. I'm with the Land Conservation Program. This item will be the second reading regarding a request from Cross Texas Transmission for an easement to cross a section of the Caprock Canyon's Trailway. The trailway is in the southern panhandle, out in the middle of nowhere.
I beg your pardon.
I wondered if you were paying any attention. In the heart of God's country.
Well, for the record, no laughter.
There were a number of routes evaluated for this transmission line, this CREZ transmission line, and the most direct route and the one that was approved by the PUC does take it across the trailway. The company, Trans Texas Transmission, Cross Texas Transmission, did work closely with staff at Parks and Wildlife, not only to identify a route that would minimize the impacts to the trailway, both biologically and aesthetically, but they also have offered to do some other compensatory measures that would not only minimize those impacts, but would assist us in repairing the trailway and taking care of some erosion that's taking place on the tunnel south of that site. That's a very important feature of the trailway. And it, as a result of that, you can see in this slide the value of that offer to assist us with the park, as again to help offset those impacts, those aesthetic impacts, from granting the easement should the commission choose to do so. And if you choose to keep this on the agenda for tomorrow, this will be the motion that you see regarding a resolution that would grant authorize staff to grant that easement. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions on this agenda item? Hearing none, I'll place this item on the Thursday Commission meeting agenda for public comment and action. Mr. Chairman, it saddens me to tell you that this committee has no further business at this time.